Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi everyone, Marcus here. Hope you're well. For the rest of this week and all next week, we'll be releasing a selection of our favourite football episodes from across a range of shows on the Stack Network. It's a chance to look back on some of our favourite moments of the season and introduce you to some shows you might not have heard before. For today and tomorrow, we're bringing you some of our favourite episodes from our Patreon feed. Our Patreon subscribers get exclusive access to two bonus shows every week, and you'll be hearing a couple of crackers over the next few days. Today we've got two episodes from our $5 a month Ramble On tier. Ramble On is where the saucy stuff lies. Answering football's weirdest questions, dreaming up our own fantasy football dinner parties, creating our dream clubs, it's where the weird stuff is. Pete and Vish are regularly involved, you'll be pleased to know. On these episodes, Vish was tasked with dreaming up his fantasy football career, one that leaves him public enemy number one in Sri Lanka, and eventually a murderer. Well, Jim and I create our own football club. If you like the sound of these, then head over to our Patreon, where you can listen to over a year's worth of Ramble On episodes for just $5 a month. Sign up at patreon.com/footballramble. Enjoy. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Ramble On. That's right. Come on in. Pull up a pew. Your glass is full, your head is empty, and it's about to become packed full of good content because I have Vitusha Nihantaraja with me.
Thank you for having me again. I love being in this studio with just you and I.
None of the other chaff. You say that when I'm not here about me as well.
All the time, yeah.
Today on Ramble On, ladies and gentlemen, this is something that we've done before with other guests and even myself. We are going to discuss the fantasy football career of Vish. Who would he play for? Where would the goals come? Because he is a striker, and I'm assuming that's what he's going to do. Where would the trophies? Which trophies would he lift? Would he be a captain? Would he injure himself and be out for a season like we heard of Pete Donaldson's career? Would he be dead at 42 again, like Pete Donaldson? So there's a lot to discuss here, Vish. There's a lot to find out, and it will reflect on your character what you choose. Okay. In my career, I was winning Champions Leagues with AC Milan and Atletico Madrid. I won a trophy at Fulham. I did a lot of good stuff. But I suppose I didn't play for a current elite side. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, we're gonna delve now into the mind and fantasy football career of our friend Vitusha. Vish, fire away, sir. This is your fantasy career. You can make up absolutely anything. We do say within reason. So if you say in my second season, I win the Champions League with Greenock Morton, which I suspect that you might have thought with. He's kind of like, well, I mean, that's a bit of a leap. So you can come up with anything, but do have a tiny bit of realism, I suppose.
Okay. Well, I'm going to start within the realm of realism, okay, as it were, because I remember when I was six, maybe a bit older actually, I went to a friend's birthday and it was the first football party I've ever been to.
Yeah.
Or I'd ever been to. And it was at QPR.
Ooh.
So I grew up in West London.
A football party?
Yes. Okay. So,
because that to me is like turning up and playing five a side.
Yeah, it was. Okay. So basically, we went to Loftus Road.
Right.
I was born and raised in West London, and my friend was a Queen's Park Rangers fan, and we went to Loftus Road.
Where you spent most of your days.
Yeah. Chilling out, relaxing and all that. And basically, it's the same kind of premise. So, I don't know if you know, but next to Loftus Road...
Springbok Pub.
Yeah. We didn't go in there.
No, I was going to say.
Yeah. That would come a couple of years later. But next to it, there was an AstroTurf kind of caged area.
I'm familiar.
Where we would play five-a-side. Mm-hmm. And we were taken by, I suppose, these two kind of people associated with QPR, and they're all in the QPR stash and stuff like that.
This is quite big. This is good.
So we got a tour of the stadium.
Yeah, that's great, especially as a six-year-old.
Yeah, it's lovely, yeah. Yeah, I think I might have been about 9 or 10, actually, thinking about it now, because I don't think I knew this guy then. But yeah, so we were taken around a tour, and we had, you know, all the cake and the meal in the
actual,
you know, looking out onto the pitch.
Lovely.
And it wasn't a match day, but it was still, you know, going into a football stadium when you're a kid is a pretty incredible experience.
Oh, it's enormous. Yeah. Although QPR's like, that's a good start, because if you went, my first stadium I went to was like Wembley or
Old
Trafford, it would be. Whereas QPR, having been to QPR a couple of times, you do sort of, the first time, you're sort of looking around the houses, you go, there can't be a football stadium here. Where is it? Oh, you see that little, shit, I'm right outside it. It's quite, it's very tucked in, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's a very small stadium as they go these days.
Yeah, yeah. It's
a nice
really
introduction.
Sneak up on you. Yeah. And so we were playing in this game. I think we had three games during the day. And we were playing in this game, and like, you know, I think I did okay. But it was a party anyway. Uh-huh. And we'd got introduced to a first team coach, and I can't remember who it was.
Ray Wilkins.
Yeah. Oh, if only Ray was there.
Yeah.
But the guy who was taking us, you know, I was a bit of a cheeky chappy when I was younger, and so like he was kind of like ribbing me and whatever. And when he'd had a conversation, he was just chatting to this coach on the side, and I'd just scored a goal, and I was just like, oh, what was he saying? And as a joke, the bloke went, oh, he thought you were a good player, but at the time, I was like, oh my god, wow, like this could be it.
It's a multi-million pound contract.
This is gonna be me and Kevin Gallen up front.
Yeah.
This is what I've always wanted.
Yeah. It's what I've always
wanted. Not previously, but certainly in this moment. Yeah. And I remember then thinking, oh wow, like this is probably how it starts, actually. Because I didn't really understand the wider picture of football and academies and stuff like that. So generally there was about a week where I was like, I felt 10 feet tall.
Yeah.
I would never touch. Well, I felt 5 feet tall, let's say. and yeah, so I thought for this, this is that parallel universe where I get picked up by Queen's Park Rangers.
Come on.
Off the back of this kid's
birthday. That's a lovely start. So your first club is QPR.
First club is QPR.
And what are you achieving? What are you doing at QPR?
So at QPR, what I'm doing is I'm just, as a West London boy, I'm taking some current, some modern era.
Yep.
You know, dashings and throwing them back on what would have been, you know, the mid-90s.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, so I'm doing that announcement video. Or I suppose you wouldn't announce a child, would you? For like a gender reveal, maybe.
Some people do, don't they?
Yeah, they do, yeah.
But some people, yeah.
But I suppose what I'm saying is I'm going to be part of QPR's drive of showing that they're a proper local club.
Absolutely.
So I am that West London boy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm from Ealing.
You're the poster boy.
I am, yeah. So that's kind of what I'm going for here. Mm-hmm. And I'm one of their own. Mm. This is what I'm saying. I'm one of their own. So, you know, you get that groundswell of like, I do quite well in the reserves or in the age groups, and I'm that person who's always on blogs, you know. And then I'm kind of, you know, I get my chance.
Fans are calling for your name. They're like, put Vish on.
Yeah.
Come on.
And And you know, there's a bit of confusion because sometimes on a team sheet I've got my full name, but I've got Vish on the back of my shirt.
No one
really knows. And so I, you know, I work my way up steadily through that way. Let's say I take the Eze route in terms of I end up being that person that they've heard about, that piece, the person they know about, and I'm that exciting player. You know, I'd probably say I'm more of a forward, more of a striker, striker.
You're a striker, don't mess it up.
But I do those fancy little things as well.
Of course you do. You do the lot.
Yeah. Think of me as a cross between...
Come on, it's your career. Go as ridiculous as you want.
And I'm going for a QPR slant here. Uh-huh. Think of me as a cross between when Charlie Austin was at QPR, goals, then Adel Terapt as well.
So, I thought you were going to say Les Ferdinand, actually.
Yeah, maybe. Uh-huh. I'm gonna stick with. I want more to rap.
I like how you've put that into a QPR context there.
So there was a bit of an issue with whether I would be a consistent goal scorer because I'd always do the flashy stuff.
Yes, exactly.
And I'd always be on Twitter in the 90s, whatever that equivalent was. You know, maybe.
No, I don't think it was an equivalent. CFAX.
Yeah, I'd be on CFAX doing fancy things. Yeah. You know, you had to wait when it was going through cinema listings.
That's
it would
right.
just be me like dropping a shoulder. And then 343 would be Monday, you know, nutmeg something like that.
So
I do that. We get into the Premier League.
There we go.
So we get into the Premier League.
There we go.
And we do it via the playoffs because that's how you build, you know, that's how you build that legacy.
A Bobby Zamora-esque winner in the 90th minute.
Exactly, yeah. Although I don't need Andy Keogh's help.
No.
I can do it. Oh, Richard Keogh, sorry.
Yeah, any Keogh. Yeah. You don't need help. You're doing it all yourself.
Yeah, I've got the Keoghs to my own destiny here. It's not a barnstorming season. I've only scored 20 goals in a...
Just 20?
In a championship campaign.
Presumably about, 18 or 19?
Yeah,
and you've only scored 20 goals. Yeah, so no one's really talking about you.
Well, but, you know, championship season's a long season, isn't it? I've only scored...
An 18-year-old scoring 20 goals and helping his side get promoted to the Premier League. Under the radar.
Yeah, under the radar. But but I actually come into my own. I actually scored 5 goals during the playoff campaign.
Yeah, you do, yeah.
Which includes the winner at Wembley.
Finish with a flurry.
And I do one of those football focus things where they take me back, where they're like, oh, you're from around here.
Yes.
What's it like? And I'm just walking around town and like, you know, kids on bikes are rolling up to me and giving me a fist bump.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
Oh yeah,
I used to kick a ball here.
Used to buy my Mars bars there.
Yeah, only I went to private school, so it's not as fancy a story.
Oh, this isn't a fairy tale at all.
No.
You don't deserve any success.
Oh yeah, I used to avoid Latin here. This is where we used to hang out, yeah.
Oh dear.
Yeah, so we just kick a ball up against here, which actually is the rowing club of the school. And yeah, they used to get really annoyed about that.
This is where I would recite Beethoven. Yes, Beethoven.
So I do all that. And so I basically stay with QPR for a year, and it's a little bit like Zaha, where people are kind of egging me on to move.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of happy, but maybe I'm not actually happy. Maybe I'm thinking... And then while, you know,
what do you do in the Premier League with QPR?
So in the Premier League with QPR, we don't really do much.
Consolidate the position.
We consolidate the position. Yeah. We have a good FA Cup run.
Yeah. Are you going to win a trophy?
No.
Why would you?
Because then in the next season, when the fans start to turn against me.
Hang on. You're going into Pete Donaldson territory here.
Yeah, because...
And when they're going to sing, like, you've done too much, much too young at you, or something, you know.
What's... And they're holding up signs where they're calling me Pish instead of Vish.
You have to have a spell in Scotland for that to work.
Yeah, okay, fine. But we end up finishing fifth.
Okay, that's a big season.
It's a huge season, yeah. We end up finishing fifth.
I mean, that's absolutely massive.
Yeah. And so they forgive me.
Okay.
And then, I don't know why, something happens, but they're kind of going to go into administration. But we keep it quiet.
You don't have to keep it to that close to reality.
Because we keep it quiet. Because Manchester United are sniffing around.
Oh, here we go. I was wondering whether they were going to get a mensch.
And obviously there's a photo, suddenly over Twitter, there's a photo of me as a kid in Manchester United shirts.
Mm. And did that happen in real life?
Well, I'm a Manchester United fan, yeah.
Yeah, so you've always been a Manchester.
Yeah, okay, so they're you know. And I have to say in an interview that I'm a Manchester United fan. They're honoured for the interest and blah, blah, blah. And so they end up signing me for about 30 million, which is obviously then helps QPR stay afloat.
So the QPR fans are like, you know what, you've played really well for us. Thank you so much. And we're really delightful that you've helped us financially.
Exactly, yeah.
You can always return there with your head held very high and have a pint in the Springbok.
And I say that, and I say, you know, I can't wait to go back. Where really, in my heart of hearts, I know that I would have fallen quite dramatically to go back to that part of Shepherd's Bush. So I play for Manchester United.
Oh, here we go. So how old are you now? 20?
I want to say I'm 22, 23, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That doesn't work out with the kind of one season in the Premier League. But okay.
Well, it was two, wasn't it?
Oh, was it two? Yeah, okay, it doesn't matter. No one's going to get it. No one's looking at that.
So I'm as old as I should be.
Yes, you're 22.
Yeah. And it doesn't start particularly well, but I need to get people on side.
You do.
Because I think there is a sense that, you know, they want to kind of promote their own and just rediscover the glory years, which I eventually helped them to. You know, we get back to winning the league. We're in the Champions League. There's a little bit of issue at first. Where do they actually play me?
Who's the manager? Who would you fancy managing you?
You know what? Because it's my fantasy, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is still the manager.
Oh, my goodness.
He's still the manager.
Okay. I mean, I know it's fancy run, but winning the league with Manchester United under Solskjaer?
Well, this is where I come in.
Yeah.
This is where I come in.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, you know, there are various different issues there. Me and Martial have a bit of a falling out.
Okay.
But then we kind of patch things up in a professional way. I think Andy Cole Sheringham type deal.
Never patched it up, but yeah.
Yeah. but this is, so in our fantasy, we do.
Oh, of course.
And it happens through kind of a goal two moment where I set him up and everything's forgiven.
At Anfield, maybe?
Probably. Yeah. Almost certainly. Yeah.
Almost certainly.
And yeah, and this is where the international football comes in.
Oh, here we go.
So obviously I'm English born and raised. My parents are from Sri Lanka.
Mm-hmm.
And from a young age, I thought, well, it's quite hard to get to play for England. I didn't come through academy. I came through the birthday setup, really.
Yeah, you did,
Queen's Park Rangers.
Yeah.
So I think, well, my best chance of playing international football is to play for Sri Lanka.
Despite being a Manchester United player.
Well, no. As in, like, so I've already, so this is the thing. I've already made my debut for Sri Lanka at the age of 17.
I see.
But it just so happens.
Mm.
That despite the fact that I've played about 10 internationals, because I pull a bit of a Ryan Giggs, I can't be asked with it after a while.
It's a long trip.
But I know that I'm going to be good as well.
Exactly, yeah.
Mugs. So, because it's the FA, the might of the English game, we managed to get to a situation where we can have them wipe. They're not really...
If you thought Jack Grealish was looked at with unapproved eyes in Ireland, how are they going to treat you in Sri Lanka? He's played 10 games for us. They were all friendlies, though.
Yeah. And the argument laid down is that Sri Lanka weren't competitive enough for them to be officially ranked as competitive. And that's something that FIFA pushed through.
Absolutely.
And it's fine.
Really mugging them off.
Yeah. And so my debut is at Wembley against Sri Lanka.
There we go. As if it couldn't get any worse. You turncoat.
So I become the first international player to score and then do a muted celebration.
Nice. Like that. That I do. That is good. Do you know Danny Welbeck got a bit from pelters from Ghana
fans?
From
Ghana,
And I actually, I was doing a little sort of Q&A thing with Danny Welbeck and Akechi Anya. Where was it? In Luton somewhere for some reason. And
Anya played for Scotland, didn't he?
Anya did,
yeah.
And I sort of we were talking about this with Welbeck, and he was such a charming chap. And he mentioned that, you know, but he just sort of laughed it off. And then I said, oh, I loved your goal that you scored against Sweden. I was there in Kiev in the Euros in 2012 where he scored that little flick. And I said, oh, it was a great goal, that. It was like a little... And the only player I could think off the top of my head who did it before was Del Piero in the Champions League final. And I said, you did a little Del Piero flick. And he went, it was a Welbeck flick, mate, or something. Which was really good. I liked that. He's a lovely, lovely guy. Anyway, sorry. I'm just indulging myself here. But it is Ramble On, ladies and gentlemen, for crying out loud.
So then I, you know, play for
England. A muted celebration at international level. I mean, that is just... It has to be admired.
But then what I do is... Because I love flashy football boots.
Yeah.
What I do is whenever I play, I have the England badge on one side and the Sri Lanka badge on the other.
I like that. And the Sri Lanka flag is...
It's a hell of a flag.
It is. It's quite something. It's quite colourful. So that would work very nicely.
And so, you know, I become this kind of representation of of British Asia, specifically British Sri Lanka.
And
so I get them on side like that, and my parents are proud of me for a little bit. Everyone wins here.
You're sort of breaking ground here.
Quite unique. That's what I thought.
I've got to use this wisely.
And like later in interviews, I'll because obviously right at the beginning you really rally against it and you say things that and I might say in an interview with Henry Winter, I've always felt English. You know,
always supported England as a boy.
Yeah, even in the cricket. And so, you know, I'll get older and I'll think, oh, you know, I shouldn't have done that. And I'll be more active in the community and stuff like that. We don't win anything with England, though. Because we are, I mean, come on. I know it's a fantasy.
In due course. I mean, you know.
But I tell you what, we set the foundations.
Not even a UEFA Nations League?
No, we don't win anything worthwhile. Okay. Put it that way. We might do like the Le Tournoi Redux. We'll win that.
Okay,
yeah.
There you go.
But I ended up having a really fruitful domestic career. You know, we win leagues.
This is Manchester United. Are you getting back in the Champions League?
We're getting back in the Champions League.
Winning the Champions League?
We're winning it, yeah. We get to three finals, we only win one.
Why?
Because I want this to be as realistic as possible.
Okay, well, that's not realistic. Manchester United getting to three more finals.
I just did a muted celebration.
Ferguson in his whole career at Manchester United got to three finals.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, yeah.
Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, yeah, he did, yeah.
Four.
He got four, yeah.
He got four.
So we're...
All right.
We're...
So you're European champions.
We're European champions, yeah. And then, so let's fast forward to... I'm 33 now.
Oh, so you're at Manchester United for...
I'm saying for...
Testimonial, who are you playing?
Testimonial, who QPR?
Yeah, nice, like that.
Got to play QPR.
Like that, yeah.
And you know what? No, 32. 32 is when I leave Manchester United.
Okay, but it's still the testimonial because that's quite nice.
Having the testimonial, yeah.
Okay.
In fact, no, I leave, but they have the testimonial in the summer.
Okay.
And this is where I'm really going to indulge myself here in every sense because I love food. I love drinking. And also, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to impart a little bit of Zinedine Zidane here. Mm. Now, Zinedine Zidane, when he was a young player, when he was trying to make it, decided that he was going to cut out all his vices. I think he was in his early 20s, maybe turning from his teens into his 20s. Mm-hmm. So he stopped smoking.
Right.
And then he started smoking again when he was at Juventus because he thought, actually, I'm pretty good now.
Yeah, I think I can do this.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, why not make it harder? So I'm going to take up all the vices back up again.
Right.
And so I decided to go to Lyon.
Ooh, that's a good choice. Beautiful city.
Gastronomical capital of Europe as well.
Indeed, yeah. I've been there.
And so I balloon while playing, you know, playing quite well in Liga.
You don't have to balloon.
But I want to. And so...
I just want a balloon.
I want to enjoy kind of the twilight of my career.
What you want is you want to be... you know, original Ronaldo, when he was back in Brazil or towards the end of his career where he's clearly enjoying his life.
Yes.
But he's still got all that sort of talent and so on. He's not quite the rip-roaring player that he was.
Yeah.
But he's still a great... Like, if you look at Ronaldo's goals when he was back in Brazil, there's a great YouTube compilation because people can think, oh, he went there and he just kind of... He still scored some magnificent goals there.
Yeah, yeah. That's basically what I want because I've got enough credit in the bank there. Enough gravitas.
I'm surprised you've gone for Lyon though. In a proper league like Liga, I thought you might pick. I thought maybe you might go for Turkey, even though some Turkish sides might be sort of they might sound that, or maybe you might go for sort of like Benfica or something like that, in the sense of like by far the sort of best or in among the sort of top two or three teams in the country.
Yeah, I'm going for lifestyle here.
Okay,
and so I would normally pick Paris, but I don't want to play for PSG.
No.
I thought I'd pick Lyon because I've always loved the Lyon kit as well.
Andy Brassel cheering you on.
Exactly that as well. My goal towards getting Andy Brassel to be my dad, I get one step closer to that.
Okay.
So I end up playing for Lyon and through fighting through gout, we win, you know, a couple of Ligue 1 titles, Coupe de France. We make some splashes in the Champions League without
maybe win a Europa League.
No.
We're
still
kind
of top tier.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. We keep getting through to the knockout stages of the Champions League and falling there. So we never actually get into the Europa League.
Okay, okay.
Let's say I kind of call it quits about 36 when the gout finally gets me.
Yeah.
And so then I retire and
when the gout finally gets me.
But then I kind of turn my life around.
Here we go.
36, I turned my life around. I think, well, you know, I've got to get healthy again because, yeah, you know, yeah, I say, yeah, I, maybe I have a health, oh, gout's a pretty big health scare.
I was going to say, people are quite worried.
Year old.
for a 36-year-old professional athlete,
yeah,
then you shouldn't be getting gout. There's something seriously wrong there.
So I turned my life around. And, you know, there's some people say, you know, he's fit as he's ever been.
Yeah.
He's probably fitter now than when he played football. Uh-huh. And so, you know, I'm still fairly relevant. And I end up playing Soccer Aid at the age of 40.
Ooh.
So I play in Soccer Aid and I come up against, mm-hmm, I'm playing for the rest of the world thing because, you know, I dabble with
Sri Lanka
and
you
they
can
need
do that,
numbers.
Yeah. You've got the option.
Yeah. So I play for the rest of the world. Mm. And my opposite man, yeah, on the England side
is Marcus Speller.
At the age of 40 is Pete Donaldson.
Oh, right.
Pete Donaldson, who at this point qualifies as a celebrity,
yeah,
not through his exploits at Sevilla B, or as an oil-covered coach for Newcastle United, but he's come off the back of a series, yeah, Celebrity Big Brother, because
right,
by then they're going to be scraping the barrel, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, of course, yeah. When are they not?
Well, yeah. So it's him, Bielsa's translator, the reanimated corpse of Bez, and Donaldson storms it. He wins the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So we strike up a friendship off the back of this,
mm-hmm,
and I've seen how he's lived his life, and I thought, you know what, I can change you.
Mm.
And you know the one thing that anyone recommends anyone when anyone talks about a lifestyle change, the advice you always give them is
yoga.
Get a Nutribullet.
Aha.
So I get Pete Donaldson his Nutribullet, and right, he suddenly becomes my pet project. I want him to.
Why are you doing this?
Rekindle himself. And
winning
then,
the World Cup with England would have been more realistic.
No, I think this is the bigger challenge, though, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, okay, yeah, carry on.
But sadly,
yeah,
Pete Donaldson death at 42.
Why are you dragging his horrible,
because I want to cross the stream
narrative.
I want to cross the streams.
This is not the Avengers, my friend.
So his death at 42 is caused by an accident with a Nutribullet.
Oh, my goodness.
And so from then on, I'm making my life's work to find out what happened and launch. Basically, my entire life is spent, you know, trying to find out what happened to Pete Donaldson and making Nutribullets safer.
Why have you done that to yourself?
Because I've had my career, I've lived my life, and now I'm because I think this comes off the back of whenever I get really drunk, I always try and be sage. I always try and give advice to people.
Yeah, okay,
and you know, just try and make them feel better, but also overstep the line. And I think this is the best way of doing that, by avenging the death of Pete Donaldson.
Avenging the death?
Well, not avenging. Maybe there's a bit, maybe there'll be a bit
trying to find it, trying to bring him back to life in some capacity.
Yeah, maybe. Well, they brought Bez back, didn't they, for Big Brother? But I think maybe there would be a bit of avenging in there, actually.
Yeah,
come
okay
to think of it. Because I can't be very happy. I've only known him for 2 years, but sounds like it was a bit of a whirlwind. and that becomes my life work, yeah.
And then you finish as a coach at QPR, presumably?
No, I've made too much money. Okay. I don't bother with the rest of that, yeah. This is the thing, I'm bored as well by this point.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Well, I think we should end it there, because I think that the listeners have got a little bit more of an insight into who you are as a man, and I think that is slightly troubled them.
But I think I've accomplished enough there.
Mm.
Maybe this says a lot about my own personal ambition,
yeah,
that I see a lot of that as success,
uh-huh,
and that any more would be too much for me to handle.
You see, if any normal person wanted to cross the streams, that they would have said that they would have saved Pete Donaldson.
Well, I tried. Got him a Nutribullet.
And you failed. You have chosen to fail saving his life at the end of your fantasy career. That's how it's finished. A friend of yours, you failed to save his life. Well done. Ladies and gentlemen,
I'm sorry, Pete.
It's been a pleasure having Vitusha Nehantharaja talk about his fantasy career, which ends with the death of Pete Donaldson. Thank you very much for listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Ramble On. My name is Marcus Speller, and I've brought along your friend and mine, Jim Campbell.
Hello, everyone.
Today, Jim, we are going to build our football club. We're going to build it from the dust, and we're going to turn it into something quite spectacular. What badge are we going to have? What kit are we going to have? What's the food the fans are going to be chomping on? What are the fans going to be like? Where are we going to play these matches? In a stadium, presumably. Are we going to custom build it? Are we going to steal a current stadium? Where will it be geographically? Are we going to pick up the Emirates and we're going to plonk it in the middle of Essex? Who knows, Jim? Who knows? We're going to find out right now.
I like the idea that we're going to steal a stadium, heist one. It's so hard.
It really would be hard. You know, sometimes when you get those kind of, what are they? I want to say lorries, but you know, those that you stick a house on the back of a...
Yeah, when you see someone driving a house down the motorway.
Yeah, exactly.
And you go, hang on, how can this possibly be happening?
Stadium would be next level.
Yeah, that would be great.
While a game's going on.
Yeah, no one's even noticed.
That'd be quite good, wouldn't it? So, Jim, what would you like to start with? Should we start with the kit?
Yeah, let's start with the kit, actually. Have you got any ideas to bring to this? Because we were actually discussing this on the Ramble the last time I was on,
yes.
Which is that I would quite like to see a team in teams in finals playing a tuxedo.
You could have one of those kits where often like lower league Spanish or Argentinian sides do those kind of concept kits, don't they?
Yes.
And it could be shaped like a tuxedo or sort of designed.
Well, I was thinking more an actual tuxedo to fit boots and shin pads, because it's a level playing field for everybody then. Yeah, it's going to get scuffed, it's going to get dirty, but they're professional athletes. You know, the standard of football is still going to be immensely high.
Yeah, well, if you're getting paid 100 grand a week, you should be able to perform in a tuxedo.
Yeah, and never get injured.
No, that's right.
Indeed.
Or upset or depressed.
Or age.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I've gone a bit more traditional, if I'm honest.
Yeah,
with my approach, I quite like a striped kit.
Yeah,
I used to own a Sanderson sponsored Sheffield Wednesday kit growing up, blue and white stripes.
I remember that so clearly. In fact, to me, that is the definitive Sheffield Wednesday kit.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I quite
Chris Waddle,
Waddle's
Des
there.
Walker.
That's right. Chrissy Woods in goal. And I do like the stripes. My favourite kind of kit makeup at the moment, I do like Atletico Madrid and Paraguay. And I do like the red and white shirts, but it's the blue shorts as well that go with it.
Right.
It is that three colours that complement each other perfectly. Argentina with black shorts, again, beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Big fan of that. But also as well, if you have a striped kit, the chances are it's that little tiny bit more iconic, because you'll always have the stripes. Yes, different kit makes and it can look slightly differently, but you've always got the stripes. It's a bit more recognisable straight away. Mm. Think AC Milan, Inter, you know.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking to try and do something that's not really been done before. Mm. And I guess it's hard to differentiate between another colour with this, but like a silver kit would be pretty cool. And I mean like a silver surfer yes. style, like reflective surface. Like, you know, the space blankets they give you if you're in a movie and something bad has happened and ambulances turn up and they just
yeah.
give you a space blanket.
Yeah, yeah,
I don't
yeah.
really know what those things are.
Yeah, I know,
I know they just keep in heat and they're just weird. But yeah. like that reflective, that's pretty good. Sweet. That you look like cool. a silver surfer. I think a thing with modern footballers is they are a bit like superheroes, aren't they? Because we mm. see them in slow motion. They've got these colourful costumes on. Yep. I think, why not lean into that?
Mm. That's a great idea, to be fair.
I mean, we're going to need two kits, to be fair.
We are, so that's definitely one. But the only problem is, would the sun kind of reflect off it, depending on what it's made of?
Possibly, but maybe we could use that to our advantage. Use the glare. That's against their opponents.
That's true.
I'd say what, our players wear sunglasses as well.
Well, they could wear specially designed contacts so you'd never know.
Yes. Oh, that's the spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like this. We're going to be a very immoral club. Because we've not even named the club yet and we've decided that we're going to cheat with science.
Wasn't Pete used to play for a team called Perfidious Albion?
He did.
Yeah, so we're sort of maybe on those lines perhaps. I don't know.
Yes.
You've sort of, what you've done there is, what I'm about to say is quite plain and boring, but I think pink and white stripes with black shorts would look great, genuinely.
Pink and white stripes with black shorts. I mean, it would certainly be a look.
But the pink kit though, like Leicester have had an away kit, which is yeah. a bit pink. Was it Leicester?
Palermo's or Sheffield, is fantastic.
Juventus and also Inter Miami have kind of got the pink and black vibe going on with one or two yeah. there. And I think pink and black works, but actually pink and white stripes, quite chunky stripes with black shorts, I genuinely think that would look very, very yeah. sexapating.
I mean, people do worry that pink mm. is for girls, and pink is for girls, but it yeah. is also for boys and exactly. for women and for men yeah. and for anyone, because yeah. it's a fucking colour, isn't it? It's a colour.
For when you started that sentence, I did think to myself, who are you and what have you done with Jim Campbell? But then you came roaring to the forefront. So exactly. So everyone's at home in this kit, because that yep. will be the home kit. And then the away kit, when we're on the road.
Silver, glary, cheaty one.
Damn right. Damn
without,
right.
Without contact lens technology that I am fairly certain does not exist. But we... You know, we'll get onto that somehow.
Yeah, or we'll get found out, because presumably yeah. We won't have the same crop of players.
Blind all of our players.
Well, yeah, and also, we won't have the same crop of players for the entirety of their career. So when one True. Of them moves, they'll be like, you do know what they're doing over there. okay, so what about the badge, the emblem on the kit? There's been a bit of crocodile chat on the ramble of late.
It has. Alligator, but, you know.
Well, either. Same bloody yeah, thing, isn't it, Jim?
Let's not get caught up yeah. in the differences.
No, that's right. It's like oranges and clementines, you know?
Claymans.
Yeah.
Claymans? Caymans, you know what I mean. Yeah, well, so are you thinking an animal for the badge?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm a bit undecided at the moment. The football team in France called Nîmes, spelt Nîmes, mm-hmm. Nîmes, they changed their badge recently. They've got the crocodile. But yep. their old badge, which they changed 2 or 3 years ago, was this. It's such a shame they changed it. It was a great badge. It was a crocodile with a football in its mouth. And I, nice. And I do quite like that. I do quite like the pumice badge, which quite predictably has a puma.
Yes.
Quite like the Valencia one with it's got a bat and an old football.
Yeah, that is good. I also like the Sampdoria one that's just a silhouette of a bloke.
That's right, I was smoking
with
a pipe
in his mouth. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah,
I forget his name, but he has a specific name.
He does.
Quite like that. And mm. also the River Plate just says carp.
It does.
Which doesn't translate particularly well. Similar to Shakhtar Donetsk's wax tap. Not sure what that translates as again. Presumably the name of the team. But yeah, I mean, I'm thinking maybe that we could just have a really, really delicately, finely sewn outline of that amazing picture of Roy Hodgson and Sammy Lee. And just not have a reason. Why do you have to have a reason? Like, who's that bloke in the Sampdoria badge. It doesn't matter, does it?
I thought you were going to say, you know, that photograph of, was it Manchester on New Year's Eve when the blokes,
oh, yeah,
when the blokes lying
incredible.
On the ground reaching
yeah.
for that beer when yeah. there's carnage in the background, yet this bottle of beer has managed to yeah. stay upright, and he goodness knows what's happened to him. He looks
he's the calmest one in it.
Yeah, it's, I mean, if you haven't seen that, I'm sure most of you have.
It's like a Renaissance painting, isn't it? It's
yeah,
incredible.
It's class. So you could have an outline of him reaching for the beer, but an old football he's reaching for.
Yeah, nice.
That would be quite nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I'm into it.
Yeah,
into
so that, maybe that was better than an animal. I was thinking if we were an English side, what would be like a typical English animal?
I'll tell you what, you make one up. Yeah. It's got like a horse's head with a unicorn's like horn, and it's got tentacles, it's got wings.
Yeah. And a machine
three
gun.
Three penises. A machine gun, yeah. And it looks in pain. It looks like.
No, it looks angry.
It doesn't know why it exists. It knows it's an abomination. It just wants to die.
Yeah. I did think of. This would be quite. I don't know why I thought this. I wrote down a man driving a moped. I don't know why. Just that would be quite funny to have on a kit. Like, what's that about? Oh, just shut up.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know.
Yeah, he should be looking to camera as well. Yeah. Like, you got. He gives you nothing from his expression. It gives nothing away.
Exactly. What about.
I'll tell you what, I'm quite into spivs. Can we have a spiv?
What, remind me what a spiv is.
So a spiv is like a guy from around the wartime where he'd have a big jacket and he'd have a little pencil moustache and he'd have a pinstripe shoe on and he'd open up his jacket and try and sell you a watch.
We're having a spiv.
I just think they're funny.
But he's opening up his coat and it's an old football.
Yes.
It's got to be an old football.
Yeah.
That is quite good.
So yeah, he can be the mascot and the badge.
Spencer the Spiv or something we'll call him.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. Again, untrustworthy. Doesn't even pretend you can trust him.
What are we calling ourselves? Like the London Rascals or something?
Yeah, but like Atlantis Rascals, maybe? Just like really throw everyone.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, where would our stadium be?
So I've been looking at different stadiums around the world. I love that. I think it's Braga's stadium, which is the one where part of it is carved into the side of a mountain.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Have you seen the Faroe Islands national team stadium?
Well, that's the stadium. Daft little ground, silly game, fuck off.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the famous one, yeah. Yeah. It's completely surrounded by water because you've got the sea on one side and lakes on the other. And there's a guy who, like, there's a guy on a boat that goes and gets balls that get lost when they play there. And it's, Google it, it's so picturesque. It's beautiful.
Well, it's you get that with, I don't know how many baseball stadiums, but I've certainly been to one in San Francisco where their baseball stadium is right on the bay.
Yeah.
On the water. So if, you know, who was that? Oh, this is poor. Was it Ken Griffey Jr., who was one of their great players? Or Barry Bonds? I just know these names.
You just made
from,
that one up.
Yeah, exactly. Was
That's
it,
got a massive Barry Grintles vibe to
was
it. That.
Was it Billy the Big Bat guy? Anyway, whoever it was, it was one of those guys. And you would have people, because he would just smack it out the stadium all the time. You'd have people, apparently, I don't know how true this is, but I'd imagine there's some truth in it, who would be there with like little dinghy or little something to kind of go out and get the baseball that would be flowing around. So you'd want something. I thought that the problem with London, that I mean, we don't have to be based in London. But
be convenient for us, though, wouldn't it?
It would be very convenient.
Owners.
And convenience is the word, Jim, because often football stadiums are either on the outskirts of cities because they've moved there to build a new city. Or in London, because it's so vast, you know, the city, the stadiums are in their various kind of neighbourhoods. Whereas I thought, to have a stadium right in the centre of London, like imagine building a stadium like on Green Park or somewhere on Hyde Park.
Yeah.
Just bang, or like
do it.
In Buckingham Palace Gardens or something, right? Where's a stadium here now? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You'd have to do it above it all. Maybe there's something to be said for that. Have it like.
No, you could build it on Hyde Park.
A huge, huge set of legs. And the legs act as stairs.
Yeah, there's nothing dangerous about that. I think Hyde Park, like right in the centre of London.
Hyde Park, right in the middle of it.
Yeah. Proper, you know, that would be like plenty of transport options.
Yeah.
The German,
I don't hate it, Marcus. I don't hate it.
The German market in the summer, in the winter rather, would be a bit pissed off. But then they would sell a lot of sausages.
They would. They could keep that. You could do concerts in the stadium because they're already doing them.
Yeah, exactly. I think this works. It's and London so, needs another so football stadium.
In a park. Yeah, so just in a park.
And we would call it the London Stadium just to annoy West Ham.
And we would refer to them as Stratford FC.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Speaking of food, what are we serving at the ground?
Ooh.
Pies. Old-fashioned pies.
Old-fashioned pies. What else? What's the least convenient thing you could possibly have? Oysters, maybe? Lobster. Lobster is the only thing that they sell there.
But cheap, though. So the football fans, they can afford all these fancy foods that they moan about.
Yeah.
Like in fact, they're so cheap you'd be an absolute mug not to buy them.
Yeah.
So if you said, "Oh, what did you have to eat?" Well, we had oysters, and we had but they're only £2 for eight oysters,
and it's literally the only thing they sell.
Yeah, that'd be an idea. Lots of sweets.
Yeah, lots candy of sweets floss. Would be good. Pick and mix, like everywhere.
They have it's that at Wembley. The place. They have what you know, the Kingdom of Sweets. It's called.
Yes.
Which is a really crap name.
It really is, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's just like a little stall kind of thing. But, I mean, obviously, they've got a lot of sweets there. But it's not a kingdom.
No. I'll tell you what we could do.
Yeah.
Is, obviously, you know, we're going to need money.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to make money without selling out. Maybe the stadium could just be a massive M&M's world. Like, with a pitch in the middle of it.
Yeah. Well, the one on Leicester Square in central London again.
Oh, yeah, that'll be nothing compared to this.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I like that. Just everyone's on a big old sugar high. Okay.
Yeah, constantly. You've got these spivs knocking about. Just
so that's how you buy M&Ms. The food. You've got to look for spivs and then they sell you them.
They've got it in, sell it out of their jackets.
And watches. You can buy odd food choices and then watches. I do quite like that. Who would you fancy as a sponsor? I thought my favourite ice cream at the moment is Jude's. Have you ever had Jude's ice cream?
I have. It's really good, isn't it? And fantastic. It's actually quite low calorie as well.
It is, and they're quite an ethical company. So I thought, you know, that's the one place where we can be responsible. Although, as you said, we are a bit spivvy, aren't we? We're a bit naughty. Do you think we should open the doors then to I don't know.
Like BAE Systems.
Which ones are they?
They make weapons.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. We'll have arms dealers on the.
Yeah. Openly. We'll try and be the vehicle to make it socially acceptable to sell arms on the telly.
And again, you get the right spiv. What's he got in his jacket?
Oh, this one's got a bazooka.
Is that a Tommy gun on the terrace? No. I think we should. We shouldn't do that. All joking aside, because this is Ramble On and it's very, very serious. I'd be happy with Jude's ice cream because we would get freebies.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
There might be a bit of a conflict of interest if it is in a giant M&M's world plonked in the middle of Hyde Park, but that'll be for them to duke out.
I think we'd be okay.
They'll find a compromise. They both want to sell.
Yeah, that's true. What about who would you fancy as the manager for this team?
I know exactly who I want.
Fizzer?
No, it's Kevin Keegan until he gets it right. He can't quit until he wins the league.
You know as well as I do that he's therefore got a job for life.
Yes. Yes, he does. But, I mean, he's not going to give up his principles. Obviously, we're going to try and furnish him with as much money as possible to give him the squad he wants. Mm-hmm. And he can do what he does best, which is all-out attack. Wouldn't you love to see that?
I would love to see it. And he's obviously a very likeable chap, so...
Exactly.
We'd have a lovely old... You see, I was thinking... I thought Carlo Ancelotti, just because how could that not be a wonderful thing? But then how about this, Jim? Maurizio Sarri, old Smokey Morris, because the thing is with Sarri is we saw him at Napoli take them probably as far as they could. Unfortunately for him, Juventus are there. He then went to Chelsea and he got sacked because they're a bit too demanding, despite winning the Europa League. And then he went to
remember it well.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. And then he went to Juventus and won the league. But I mean, people would say, well, of course he won the league, you know, easy pickings with Juventus, and they got rid of him. Just to say to Sarri, we would like free-flowing attacking football, and we're not going to sack you anytime soon. Yeah. Like, relax, take it easy.
Eat all the cigarettes you like.
Yeah, you can't smoke the cigarettes. You can just eat them because, you know, that's probably less damaging to your health. I don't know.
Yeah, you could probably smoke in the park. Yeah, you'd probably be allowed.
Yeah. But I don't know.
Which would probably sell it to him, to be fair.
But he comes across as a nice chap. He's going to kind of not cause any trouble, I don't think. I just feel a bit sorry for him, I think, because he's obviously a very good manager and he plays good football.
I'm going to insist that it's Kevin Keegan until he gets it right.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you're talking to me here, Jim. You know. Who would you fancy as captain?
Do you remember Robin Friday, the maverick footballer who preferred drinking and LSD to training?
I mean, I don't remember him.
I know this makes it harder for Keggy.
Yeah, but Keggy would...
But maybe that's deliberate.
Yeah. I think I've had some of Robin's tea. I mean, Robin Friday, he died a number of years ago, didn't he?
He did, yes.
Yeah.
The Super Furry Animals song, Man Don't Give a Fuck, is about him. Actually, I don't know if it is about him. I think that might be
a bit of
a myth
because
he's on the cover of it, yeah.
Yeah, giving the V's.
It goes together very well.
Yeah, it does. I mean, the club won't last very long if he's captain and Keggy's manager.
Well, it depends on who you put around him, doesn't it?
See, I thought of a captain, I thought, if we're going like full throttle, as opposed to full frontal, one often leads to the other.
Oh, we could have a kit with poppers on it.
What about
the celebration?
The see-through kit.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Yeah, no wonder. I that's probably against the rules, but
I don't know.
As I said, we're trying to bend the rules as we've already sort of laid out. I was thinking someone like full-blooded, like Terry Butcher.
Terry Butcher.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Isn't he a bit of a Wally, though?
Yeah, Butcher? That's true. And then I settled on...
He'd just keep going on about Maradona, wouldn't he?
He would, yeah, to be fair.
It'd bore you to tears.
It's like, he's dead, Terry. Leave it.
Yeah.
But
He mugged you off forever. Yeah. Just accept it.
I didn't settle on Butcher. I thought to myself, well, if we're going to be a bit naughty and a bit spivvy, then we need a captain who is going to give the impression that we're perhaps classier than we are appearing to be, and who can be likable and basically give us a bit of credit in the bank with the doubters. And I just thought Paolo Maldini.
Oh yes,
yeah.
Oh, just the thought of the man
in that pink and white and black kit,
pink, white,
and then
black
the silver,
kit. and then the see-through third kit. Especially that one. Oh, the see-through third kit with a poppers on the front so you can open it when you celebrate.
Not that he needs to open it.
Yeah. I guess for the see-through kit, all of the players are going to have the sponsor and the badge temporarily tattooed onto them, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, the sponsor, yeah.
I think that temporary tattoo technology is quite good at the moment, so we'd be fine. We'll get around that.
There we are. Have we missed anything? What about the fan culture?
I imagine that's going to be quite strange based on the makeup of the club. I think that sort of thing has to grow organically, doesn't it?
Yeah, we can't possibly start dictating that.
Started out with spivs. Grew from there.
Yeah, that's the kind of... But then our fans, they would dress up as spivs wherever they went. That would be the vibe.
Or maybe that should be reflected in the kit then, a sort of pinstripe kit. The badge is in like an open pocket watch.
But if you're thinking, I mean, if with a spiv, I'm thinking the long brown jacket.
Yeah.
Would that be fair?
Yeah, but underneath that, they'd be wearing a pinstripe suit. And all the players have got to have pencil moustaches.
Although, what about a pinstripe kit?
Well, this is what I mean. This is what I'm getting
at. Sorry. Yeah, I think we're all agreed, Jim.
Yeah.
Yeah, the London Spivs, that's us.
Damn right.
There we are. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope this has been enlightening for you. Jim and I are good guys, honest, but if we were given a football club, we'd turn it into
it would not do well.
A big old spivvy affair. But you'd all be invited. And you'd very much enjoy the pies. There we are. Thanks very much, Jimmy.
Thank you.
Pleasure, everybody. See you next time on Ramble On.
Yep, we told you it was bizarre. If you want more of that, then sign up to our Patreon for as little as $5 a month over at patreon.com/footballramble. We'll be back with another episode from the Patreon archives tomorrow.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.